Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, be multiplied unto you now and forever. Isaac read the gospel text for this Sunday, and I have chosen for a portion of Scripture the epistle text, which is found in the third chapter of the book of Colossians, and reading the first 17 verses. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. And the words are as follows in the name of the Lord. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh unto the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time, when you lived in them. But now you are also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And if any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things put on charity, or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen. Apostle Paul is giving instruction to the church in Colossians of the true Christian life, the life of a Christian who is born from above, and to know and to recognize that there is no salvation in anything here found on this earth. If we try to just avoid a worldly life, or we live in some vanity in our own minds, thinking we're successful, and we believe that it's important that we belong to the right church group, and we want to keep a certain days and so forth, even as he tells us in the 16th verse of the previous chapter, let no man therefore judge you in meat, drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And then he says, let no man beguile you in your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. False humility, which is so near to us. It's an attempt to bring attention to ourselves rather than to Christ. Self-centered, we call them, being self-centered. And instead of allowing true humility in God and to be God-centered, we need a power. We need the power of God, which is greater than ourselves. for we need the power of God found only in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes in the second chapter, verses 20 and 21, when he says, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiment of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not." The Colossian Christians didn't understand, and they were still under the commandments of man. And he's telling them to be under the command and the direction of God through his Son, the Lord Jesus. For he says in verse at the end of this second chapter, verse 22, "Which all are to perish with using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." For a believer, we claim that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have a life which is to come from Christ himself. We read in the first two verses of our chapter, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." We have a personal relationship with him. We have a personal union with him. He says, "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." We are dead to sin. That's what the word instructs us. We are dead to bondage. We are dead to outward rules, outward regulations. We are dead to the law, to trust the law for our justification and for our salvation. But we are set free to trust in Christ and in him alone and follow the law of the Lord Jesus Christ. Martin Luther talks about this when he says, "Our life is hid with Christ in God." He says, we dwell in the flesh, but we don't live in the flesh. For our life is hid in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's children follow a different spirit than the people of the world. God's people have different goals in their hearts and in their lives, and they live under a different power. It's like a palm tree living or surviving in the desert, but they have their roots that go deep, and they go deep into the water to give them life, and they're able to survive there. He says, "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." It's not a duty, it's not a command, but it's a privilege given by God. Given by God to set our things in Christ. We all experience this when we go away from home. Some have to go to work someplace further from home. Others end up probably in the military or being separated. Nobody has to tell us, normally anyway, that we need to remember our family, we really need to remember our mothers, our dads, or our wives or our children. We don't have to be told that because we love them and we want to think of them. And so it is. We love Christ and we don't have to be thinking about the things of this world and love them. For even as John tells us in his epistle, when we have a warfare, we have the lust of the flesh, we have the lust of the eyes, we have the pride of life, and that takes us. But we know that all things have been created by God. Even as John writes to us in the beginning, all things are made by God and given to mankind, everything. But we struggle with these desires that we have, the longings that we have. The Bible calls them coveting, being covetous. and wanting them. And we want to possess. We want to have it for ourselves. There is a familiar saying about keeping up with the Joneses. And so often we get caught in the trap. And we can look at the fads that come and go. One does and gets something, then the rest of them want the same thing. And whether it's of this earth or around this church or wherever, we want to possess houses, better, more beautiful, bigger, whether it be clothes that we wear, whether it be cars that we have, tractors that we have, machinery and everything. It just goes in all things. Whereas the scripture exhorts us to love our neighbor as ourselves, and for us to love our neighbor, we need to know our neighbors and have fellowship with them and work together. Not be jealous of them, but to work together and to love them. And even in church, when we gather together, afterwards we have fellowship one with another, coffee in the evening services, and so forth. And we so often get so busy with our own lives that we just don't have time for other people and those that are one with us and citizens of heaven, which is to be our treasure, for it is only the people that go to heaven, and it isn't any things that we have. But Paul says in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. We shall be revealing him and be revealed with him in glory. It's just like we live here in Minnesota through winter, and it's cold. And we begin in that toward spring, we begin to yearn for summer, where it's nice and grass grows and the leaves have trees and so forth. So it is. We look forward. We look forward to time when Jesus is coming again. We look forward to that time when there will be no more sin, no more sorrow, darkness. And our bodies will be glorified and they will be raised to be with him in glory. We will have a new body. And they wish we shall appear with him in glory. But then as Paul also writes to the Colossians, and he says in the fifth verse, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Mortify. Paul points to it, this, and makes a specific thing. Talks about special sins. And unfortunately, this is true. We are sinners, even as we claim to be Christians and gather together around God's word. We know that God loves sinners, but he does hate sin. And that the reason he talks about this is we need to be taught to watch for it, guard against it. Guard against these things in our own bodies and our own lives. We know that even the world recognizes now, and especially people, individuals who fail in the area of drugs. Drugs have become a great evil amongst people. Alcohol. People are getting stopped for drunken driving and all kinds of bad things. And sex. We are living in a sexual revolution, and it seems like everything seems to go. And as God's children, we want to put away these sins, whether it be fornication, which is, as Scripture teaches us, between unmarried people, and adultery, that's between people who are married, and they go outside of their marriage relationship. We have often bad influences in our lives, and we dwell in them, reading bad books and magazines. And there are some who date people who do not confess Christ, unbelieving partners, and thinking they're doing mission work, whereas the Bible also, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, not to have any dealings with, or not to be unequally yoked, that's what he says, with unbelievers. To keep our minds, our bodies, and our families healthy, and to bring them under the control of God and His Word. But he also talks about covetousness, which is idolatry, and the love of money, which is the root of all evil. And we miss the one who is the first fruit, who is the God of the first fruit, to know and to recognize that it's more blessed to forgive and to give than to receive. He says in verse 6 through 8, "For which things sake the wrath of God comes unto the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked at some time when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." Put them off. We are new life. We have a new life. We are new creatures in Christ. And death needs to come to the old sins that we're involved with, to be holy as He is holy, to put away anger, put away wrath and malice and backbiting, trying to ruin the reputation of others. Scripture instructs us that we need to pray for them instead. There's examples that I'd like to share, even with older Christians. It's a few years back, I was talking to a Christian man in Minaga, and he was complaining to me that he doesn't have any friends, nobody to see him, and no place to go. And I said, "Well, do you have any family? You have any family?" And he says, "Well, I got a sister in Wadena, but I haven't talked to her for 17 years. "Well, why not?" "Well, I don't like her, and she did something," but he wouldn't tell me what she had done. I says, "You know, you're getting up to be an old man. I think it would be good if you make up with your sister. You need to have fellowship, forgive, not to be bitter." Then it's just not too long ago, I go to foot care, which is in Osage. They clip my toenails, and we get to know some of the other people there, and there was a lady I was visiting with, and she was over 80 years old. And she started, I was asking her about her family, and she said, her and her husband were there, and she said, "Well, I got one sister, but I haven't talked to her for 20 years. "Well, why not? What's going on?" And she said, "I would rather go to hell than to talk to her." And everybody listening to her all gasped. Oh, it was a shocker. And then she said, "I'd never want to have anything to do with her." I says, "Listen, you're over 80 years old. Your sister, which I found out was only 2 years younger than her, was old too. And one of these days, you'll both be gone. And then what's going to happen?" Bitterness, hatred needs to be put away. And other things that I told her. Well, she didn't answer or didn't say anything about it. But anyway, she did tell me later that she had gone to her sister's 60th anniversary and had a good time. So I said, "Well, that sounds good." And of course, now I saw in the paper where her sister's husband had passed away. So that's what happens. And I hope they make a complete reconciliation, not only with one another, of course, but with God. Because we talk about having peace with God, but how can we have peace with God when we are bitter enemies one with another, when we have been created in the image of God? Love has gotten cold. We backbite. And then he tells us, "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds." Why? Why should we not lie to one another? Well, we know that it destroys trust. When we start lying, we destroy trust. That can tear the relationships, and it can even lead to serious conflict in the church. Sometimes we fall in this, we begin to exaggerate things. And of course, Then we gossip against one another and spread rumors. And we say things that would build our own image so we would look good. And instead, as Scripture tells us, to tell the truth. Tell the truth and follow the new man, as he says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. God has made us in his image. He created us in the Garden of Eden, but we know what happened there. Adam and Eve, our first parents, fell and blurred that image. And now, through Christ, we are restored. We are brought back to God through his grace, his forgiveness, and the shedding of his blood on the cross of Calvary, of which Paul tells us earlier in the first chapter when he says in the 14th verse, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And this is, of course, the ultimate reason that the blood had to be shed to forgive us our sins, as it was. Time beginning through the blood of animals, but now Jesus Christ shed his own blood to give us life and salvation. And through him and through his blood, we become brothers and sisters in Christ. In the 11th verse of our text, it says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, there is no circumcision nor uncircumcision, no barbarian or Scythian, nor bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Our old natures need to be renewed. We are all created by God. We're created in his image. And we are all received by him in the same way through the blood of Jesus. Whether we as we sang in the song, we had song service Friday night. We sang one of the children's song. Whether we be red or brown or yellow and white, we are precious in his sight. Regardless of our race, we are precious in his sight. He has created, and we are all received the same way. Certainly we are separate. Here on this earth we're separate, but that means nothing as far as God is concerned, and it means nothing before God. We read through the rest of the text, verse 12 through 17. Put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man has a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Just touching on verse 15 when he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now we know that in our church denomination, we greet one another with God's peace. And of course, this is exhorted by Jesus Christ. Christ has given us his peace, even as he told his disciples in the 14th chapter of John. I'd like to read it when he says, in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. And we have that peace through the redemption that is given to us through Jesus Even as we read earlier in the first chapter, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. When our sins are forgiven and washed, we have peace with him, and we become members of his body, where he is the head. And we can say that there is unity is impossible. It's out of the question without having the peace of God. It comes through God and his word. We have his peace. When we are humbled by God to turn to him in repentance and seeking his grace and believing our sins forgiven through the precious name and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have peace amongst our others who are in Christ. And he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The word of Christ, he is the one that gives us power. He is the one that lives within by his Holy Spirit. That spirit that has been given to us does not come and does not go, but it dwells there. It teaches us, it admonishes us, and we can come to him and sing unto him with thanksgiving and give thanks unto him. For it says in verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That is the Christian life. We avoid words and life that dishonor Christ. James the Apostle writes in the book of James of the sin of the tongue. But to us, it's the word given by Christ through his word. The word of wisdom, the word of truth, and the word of righteousness. He is the one that gives all things. And these are the words of eternal life. And we ought to love and to live in obedience and in thanksgiving, thanksgiving unto God, our Heavenly Father, through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for all things have been provided for us. And in him we have peace, and we share that peace with one another so that others who come to know it and to grasp that through him we have life, salvation, here and a hope of eternal life forever. In Christ's name, amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this time. We thank you for your word that gives us hope, and we thank you for that grace to lift us up and to set us on that firm foundation, which is your Son, Jesus, the rock of our salvation, who has gone through all the trials, tribulations that we go through, and yet he overcame. He was tempted like we in all points, yet without sin. Thank you, Father, for providing that life and salvation for us, and the blood that was shed for us, that through him and his precious blood, we have forgiveness. And in his name. O Lord, bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lift your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.